Theater. Arrows into Infinity takes us on Lloyd's journey from the heights of jazz rock royalty to his life in seclusion and back again. Arrows into Infinity, the Portland premiere, Thursday, April 9, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton, Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Wednesday, April 8th at noon when KBOO's Rita Rega will be talking to the director of Arrows into Infinity, Dorothy Darr. You'll get a behind-the-scenes glimpse of the making of this important documentary of one of the most influential figures in jazz. That's Wednesday, April 8th at noon here at KBOO Portland.
We're at the Erez Crossing, which is where you enter Gaza from. So apparently, when you go into Gaza, you have to walk until you get to the first town there. And apparently that walk is very dangerous.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of Indigenous Rights, Palestine, and Academic Freedom. Thursday, April 9th at 6:30 p.m. at Portland State University's Smith Center, room 338. Guest speaker will be Stephen Saleta, former Virginia Tech professor. That's Indigenous Rights, Palestine, and Academic Freedom, sponsored by Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights, on Thursday, April 9th, 6:30 p.m. at Portland State University, Smith Center, room 338. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today is Ed Cheney, who is, in fact, Northwest Resource Information Center. We're going to put links to the website on the KBOO website so listeners can get the full picture of what the Northwest Resource Center is all about. First, there's a couple of very short headlines that I know you are going to want to hear about. The White House has published a handful of comments from so-called environmental groups, and you know who you are, implying widespread support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership and other corporate trade agreements. Yet these cherry-picked comments from some of the most conservative, corporate-funded environmental groups actually reveal the administration's desperation to find any support at all for such deals. And, of course, by this time everyone knows about the two young ladies who are our children's trust, and they brought their case before a judge in Lane County, Judge Rasmussen. More on that. We're going to post all of this, of course, on the KBOO website. Furthermore, the DeSmog blog has a Burlington Northern Santa Fe employee suing his former employer. He was the engineer, the locomotive engineer on the company's oil by rail, that is bomb train, that exploded in rural Castleton, North Dakota. Didn't get very far, but still in North Dakota. And right now, coal companies are planning to unlock vast stores of carbon from nine mega coal mines in northeastern Australia. And even though the USA Patriot Act has not been brought to the Supreme Court for review of legality, many states have made it their mission to combat the negative effects of the doctrine. By this time, everyone has seen the video of Walter Scott's murder, cold-blooded murder by a policeman. But the fact of the matter is that what you get right down to it, it is where we plant our feet, where we stand in this region, that it should be and ultimately will be forced to confront the terrible mistakes that we're making right now and pay more attention to the words of Ed Cheney and others like him, though I have to say there are very few people like Ed Cheney. I first became acquainted with Northwest Resource Center through High Country News. There was a long article in it, December 8th, if anyone wants to go have a look, on Tsamit River's indigenous people. And Ed Cheney's voice rang loud and clear above all the others in that piece. I want to now welcome Ed Cheney with the Northwest Resource Information Center to the KBOO Airwaves. Thanks for being with us today, Ed.
You bet. My pleasure.
Well, the first thing is, you know, I wanted you to talk about, expand on, and the projects that the center is involved with are extraordinary, of course. But first up, if we could talk a little bit about your piece, Endgame for Wild Snake River Salmon and Steelhead.
Well, yes. The plight of Snake River salmon was the impetus for me establishing the Northwest Resource Information Center in 1976. That was the time when the four Army Corps of Engineers dams, the last of the four Army Corps of Engineers dams on the Lower Snake River in Southwest Washington, were completed. And because those dams were not designed to pass, to allow juvenile salmon to go downstream, as Congress intended, a disaster happened. And it was in the middle of that disaster when it became clear that the government was not going to act on its own, that I established what I call NRIC to distribute information and eventually to bring a series of lawsuits in behalf of Snake River salmon.
So you write to a noose is woven of four major strands of corruption. All of this underlies what we face today. And the Nez Perce people, the salmon runs for them are complicated by, in addition to the four dam existing dams, there are another four dams that salmon have to traverse somehow. This article that I saw was extraordinary because it lays out in gruesome detail what they actually do to the fish, herding them into pens, drugging them, stunning them, tagging them and whatnot, dragging them out, cutting bloody holes in them, and then loading them on trucks and driving them around the river. I cannot, for the life of me, see how this in any way, shape, or form has to do with sustainability. I would like you to talk a little bit about that and talk about the fact that the creature, the species, and the habitat are one and the same thing. You cannot say we're going to save salmon and steelhead on the Snake River and then destroy their habitat because they're walking dead, or in this case, the swimming dead, because ultimately that's it.
Well, yeah, there are a couple of things. You've raised a couple of issues that need to be emphasized. There are eight dams, four on the main stem Columbia and four on the Lower Snake River, between the salmon-producing areas of the Snake River Basin and the ocean. The four dams on the Lower Columbia River, they take their toll, but they don't threaten Snake River salmon with extinction. It's the four dams on the Lower Snake River, which, because there's a lot less water in the Snake River, the dams were designed to use all of the water for other purposes other than saving salmon. So it's those four dams that are the threat to Snake River salmon. Snake River salmon could live with the four dams on the Columbia River. But your other point that you raised is that the Snake River Basin has the largest expanse of pristine and near-pristine salmon and steelhead habitat in the contiguous United States. Number of wilderness areas, national wild and scenic river areas, something encompassing about 14 million square miles of habitat that's pristine. We don't have a lack of habitat. what we have is a lack of salmon and steelhead because the Corps of Engineers and Bonneville Power Administration killed them at the four lower Snake River dams.
So the Bonneville Power, it really does always return to the Bonneville Power Administration, which is clearly the central player in this, what you describe as a net of corruption. You want to talk a little bit about that, the four major strands of corruption that got us where we are today in this situation?
It started, of course, as I said earlier, with the fact that the Corps just simply ignored the law and didn't design the dams properly. That's the base, that's the root of the problem. The Corps spent billions of dollars trying to tinker with the dam to make them work and can't. So that's why they start barging and hauling salmon in trucks. In 1980, Congress passed a law that says the hydro system had to be modified in order to restore the salmon. That law basically just has been ignored. When we mention Bonneville, it's important to understand that while we have a number of independent agencies that are involved here, Bonneville Power Administration, all roads of corruption lead to Bonneville. This is something that your listeners have a front row seat to. Bonneville has enormous amount of political power because it's the goose that lays the golden eggs. And so it's simply, in the finest tradition of America, it simply buys the politics that it wants. And it simply has been able to date to buy the political support to continue to kill Snake River salmon. And that runs through the Corps, that runs through the Northwest Power Planning Council that was established in 1980 to restore the salmon, and which instead became Bonneville's accomplice. So it's unfortunate, but it's true, and it's that there's no real argument to the contrary. It's happening in plain sight, is we have just basically a near total betrayal of the public trust and a corruption of the law that was designed to protect Snake River salmon and the people who depend on them.
What about, there are other agencies and there are and Native Indigenous people whose traditions are interwoven with the fate of the salmon and the steelhead. What right now, could you get us up to date on where you are? You are in a somewhat remote part of Idaho. The Colville Reservation, I believe, is adjacent to some of these. Thinking of the habitat, the watershed, the forests, everything up there, what other agencies or groups are involved in the present state of attempts to preserve the fish?
Well, everyone wants to preserve the fish. Everybody is for saving the salmon. The fact of the matter is, that's what they say, but what they do, of course, is opposite of that. And that includes, unfortunately, from the state and fish and game agencies in Washington, Montana, and Idaho, who have been bought by Bonneville Power Administration with hundreds of millions of dollars in bribes to support killing Snake River salmon at the four lower Snake River dams. That's just, they actually have contracts. They're not trying to hide it. Unfortunately, Bonneville also gave a number of Indian tribes, Native American tribes, $1 billion to look the other way for 10 years while Bonneville and the Corps proceed to kill Snake River salmon. That, for me, is a real heartbreaker, but that's just the way it is.
So we have about a minute left here. There's so much more that I want to talk about. I want to ask you at another time, what would it, an acceptable dam actually look like instead of what we have? And we talk a little bit about the Endangered Species Act, NOAA fisheries. All of these issues are terribly important. There was the NRIC's July 25th, 2014, in the comments, in particular, I want to commend people's attention to. And I wanted to ask you, too, about the Council's Regional Power Plan, Northwest Power Act. Well, we're almost out of time. I'm not going to talk. I want you to finish. If you could just leave us with a thought on the whole subject of the salmon.
Well, if we'll have a chance to revisit those things, keep those things in mind because they're very important. The basic thing to remember is this is all happening in plain sight. Your listeners have a front row seat in Portland because the strings are all being pulled right there by Bonneville Power Administration and the Northwest Power Planning Council and the National Marine Fisheries Service.
Thank you so much for that. And hope you'll join us again tomorrow to finish this conversation. Our guest today has been Ed Cheney of the Northwest Resource Information Center. We'll put links to that on the website. You can find out a lot more about this. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, April 8, 2015. Tammy Dean engineered the show for us today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, an in-depth look at